Okay, it'll be your turn too. Jeffrey Wen's our guest, and we'll be back with him in just a moment. We're talking about his book, The Psychic in You, and your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. What was the happiest moment of your life, Jeffrey, when you were doing the psychic work that you've done? I mean, was there a moment that you were just thankful that you have this gift?
I don't know. I've had so many different situations. Probably one of those situations that I remember had to do with a young man that had a real serious drug problem. And this was in the day when I did house parties where I used to go, you know, to people's houses.
Yeah.
And the family I knew for a long time, it was an Italian family. Every time I would go over there, I would go maybe, you know, once a year. They would have, you know, the whole family over. They made me stay for dinner. And they begged me to speak to the son. And I scared the daylights out of the son to the point that we got him to go into rehab. And now he's married. He's got kids. He's happy. It's like he turned his whole life around.
And so not only are you psychic, you're also like a counselor.
Well, I gave him who was going to be at his funeral, what he was wearing, what he was, you know, the whole bit.
Okay, to the phones we go. Let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. Hi there. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yes, I have a medical question I'd like to ask.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know if you get any kind of a psychic feeling about a current medical mystery that's being called Morgellons.
Or Morgellons disease.
Yes.
Well, I'm not really a doctor. Like, I do get medical hits periodically, okay? And, I mean, it wouldn't be something that I would say to you that I'm good at, because I'm not really a medical intuitive.
Can I ask another question about it?
Well, I don't know if you can answer it, but go ahead.
Do you feel like that if you think about the name of it, do you think that it has anything to do with biowarfare?
Well, when you first started speaking to me, they were showing me something like in a chemical way, which means to me that it was more about your environment, and that's what you should be paying attention to.
Okay, and let me ask you why you brought up those two questions. I'm curious.
Well, I have Morgellons disease, and I have Lyme disease, and everything that I have read indicates that it's a biowarfare cocktail, that Lyme is a biowarfare cocktail, and that Morgellons is too. And I've read in Dr. George Schwartz's monograph, he's from New Mexico,
right,
that it is a biowarfare cocktail that was developed by the CIA. And I think it's very interesting that the first doctor who ever started treating this disease is a former NASA doctor, Dr. William Harvey. And Dr. George Schwartz also writes that HARP technology has an effect on this.
Hmm.
And I'm an old friend of Richard Hoagland's, and I know what HARP is, and I know what it can do. And, I want to know, since the government's not helping us get well, and this is a really horrible, serious, you know, deadly
disease. You've got, like, fibers, right?
It's not just that. I've had lesions that had to be debrided. I had to be debrided on my backside through the muscle to the bone from the lesions.
Wow.
I've had heart failure, respiratory failure. It's been a nightmare. And these things can get into your muscles, and including your heart. And so, nobody's helping us. And when you were talking earlier about the declassification of the reclassification of material that had been declassified.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered about things like Morgellons, because I think that the government doesn't want us to know that.
Well, it's a disease that a lot of people just don't seem to understand, and I cannot rule out the fact that it wasn't concocted in some laboratory at all. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hey, good morning. How are you, gentlemen?
Good,
tonight?
Sir. Good.
This is Rick from Youngstown. I just have a general question for your guest, George.
Okay.
I was wondering, if someone out there, anyone, has a feel that they have some psychic ability, some psychic talent, what would your guest suggest is the best way to enhance it, to pursue it, to, you know, once a person's made up their mind that they feel they're comfortable with it, say. Because I feel like there's a lot of people that probably have it and maybe aren't totally comfortable with having it. And if you feel, though, that you've become comfortable enough with it, if something's changed in your life or whatnot, that what would your guest suggest you do to try to build on that, what you have maybe from inside?
I probably think the first thing to do, number one, is that there would be no coincidence. Like, once you start building on it, you're going to start having certain situations. It could be with friends.
Right.
It could be with coworkers where, you know, you're saying stuff and stuff is starting to happen. And it's not by accident. I mean, granted, when I first started, I did it through the cards because I was afraid.
Right.
You know, and it was much easier in the element of, you know, presenting the cards and saying, oh, my God, it's the Tower card.
No, sure, you, there's a lot
you know.
More dispersonality there. I mean,
oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's the, you know, that part of it. But as I did it more and more, I got to the point where you could do different things with psychometry, where if you have somebody you're friendly with or you have a group of people that you can get together with, and basically you can do little psychometry exercises where you can take an object, put it in an envelope, and pass it around four or five people without not telling everybody what that object is,
right.
And that will be a way to hone it. You know, the meditation is a way to hone it.
Okay.
And that would be part of it. You know, a lot of it is I tell people, like, what happens when you have this is you got to watch the extremes, okay, because you have to be responsible for what you say. You know, God forbid you walked up to a stranger on the street and said, you know what, I see you having this heart attack, and then the poor person has a heart attack. You know what I'm saying? You have to be careful. It's really about the delivery at times.
Tell me about Tom Philbin, who wrote the preface for your book.
He actually, it was interesting, the agent, book agent, I had, recommended him. He was somebody that he had used before. Tom wrote a lot of books that were related to, you know, police books and fix-it books, you know, house books. And I had Tom come to my first Maury show, and he sat in the audience. And, you know, I didn't say anything. I let him experience it, and he saw it, and I made him cry the first time.
Did you make him a believer?
Totally.
That's good. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good.
Jeffrey?
Hi.
Great to talk to you guys. I've been listening here in Reno since probably 1980, whenever Art
started
the program.
Yeah.
And what I like to ask is, about 20 years ago, a group of us went to a hotel in up on the top of Donner. At the time, we didn't know it, but in later years, we found out it was known to have ghosts and this and that in it. But what happened to us was we had checked in. And at that time, I had a lab with me, and he wanted to go outside, so we took him outside, and he just was acting strange the whole evening. And as we're outside letting him do his business, I looked up, and above the front door was a big picture window, and it looked like a silhouette of a gal, you know, and she wasn't doing anything, just standing there, but it was like a wave. She like waved us in. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. So as we went back in, maybe 5 minutes later, looked up, there was no room there. It was just the ceiling. So I thought, well, we were just seeing things. Well, that evening, the dog that was with us and another couple, they had a little baby, they would not stay in that motel, in this old hotel. They were just, the baby was just out of its mind, crying, fussing the whole night. They finally had to leave. So I had a dream that night about a big fire, and you know that 2 days later, the place burned up, and it was almost like I was getting a warning. And then ever since that time, if I ever go to a place where there is supposedly apparitions, ghosts, or whatever, I get a feeling that I'm being watched and I'm being communicated with, and I've never been able to put my finger on it.
What's happening to him, Jeffrey?
Well, I think the one thing you have to understand, you brought up two classic examples. Number one, babies are very sensitive. Kids are very sensitive, okay? The animal, of course, probably more so the fact that the lab was seeing something or feeling something. And I always tell people when you have a psychic experience or a premonition or things, there is this feeling of impending doom if it's a negative thing. And that's probably what the baby was picking up on, and that's probably what the dog was picking up on. So it's not uncommon. But, I mean, spirits will do that at times where they can manifest. I mean, when I was in the graveyard when we did this special for A&E, I had a gentleman who was my web guy who I taught how to take pictures of ghosts and spirits. And we got some real good orbs and stuff that came up during the taping of the show. So it's not uncommon because you can feel their energy and you can feel their presence.
And what's funny about it is, The second time it ever happened to me in right outside Virginia City, it's Gold Hill, very old hotel. I was sitting, and I had just met this young lady, and we were sitting there talking, and all of a sudden I got this real, real pungent odor of roses. And I said, "Do you smell that?" And she said, "No, you know," and we're talking. Well, throughout the evening, I finally asked somebody about it, and they supposedly had a lady that had died there in the 1800s, and that's what she wore all the time was rose perfume.
Well, that's how a spirit will manifest. A spirit will give you something that is their calling card or something that's familiar, you know, that they would be noted for. And that's not unusual where you would get a smell. I've had it with people that I've sat with where, you know, it could be a flower smell. It could be an Old Spice smell. It could be cigarettes. It could be pipes. It could be anything in that level.
Well, how come the young lady didn't smell it?
Because I think you were probably a little more sensitive and a little more in tune to it, and she probably wasn't aware of it in the same capacity.
Huh. Okay, great. Thank you guys very much.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate you being on the program. I've got a guest tomorrow for my first hour, Jeffrey, who has experienced some incredible things on the Queen Elizabeth, too, and we're going to talk with her tomorrow.
Oh, that,
something's going on there.
Oh, definitely. Well, I mean, look at the history of the ship. And look at the fact of how many different energies and who's died there and who hasn't. Those soul, that soul energy sticks around.
All right, thanks. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast You're on the air. Hi there.
Good morning. My name is Barb.
Hi,
Barb. Good morning, gentlemen.
Sure.
Good evening. I have a question for you. It's kind of a long question in a way. If a person has sleep paralysis and has a lot of nightmares when they sleep, and they take medication like Tylenol PM so that they don't. Am I blocking out different experiences that?
Oh, absolutely. Because remember, you're putting something that's foreign in your body that your body's not used to.
The reason why I ask is that if I don't take the medication, then I end up with a horrible migraine. And what I don't understand is that in my life, I'm so thankful to God for every wonderful thing I've been given in my life and my family. And I have a great attitude. I'm very happy. So I don't understand.
Well, you could be. I think what's happening with you is you're picking up negativity. And you're probably picking up negativity from people, not so much in your family, but mm-hmm. from outside your family. So you may want to do a little bit of a cleansing. And probably what I would do is if, you know, depending on what your belief system is, you know, either getting...
I'm Catholic.
Well, that's good. Then get some holy water and, you know, the stuff that they use for Easter Sunday, you know, the incense.
Sure.
And go through your room.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may have picked up a little bit of a vortex where you're picking up a lot of garbage, huh? And that probably has a lot to do with it.
Because, you know, I want to have dreams about my parents who passed away.
Well, your mom was the one I was actually hearing, because your mom is very adamant about making you understand that that was your mom's time and that your mom was ready to move on.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
She makes that very clear. Trust me, she's quite pushy about it.
Did you say anything else?
And
I know it wasn't supposed to be personal.
No, I know, but it's just that she wanted you to know how proud she was of you as a mom. And according to her, she was a better housekeeper, but I don't know if that's true or not.
Who tends to come back more in terms of the spirits, the males or the females?
Oh, I get them both. I love it when it's a non-believer on the other side because they give you such a hard time.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah. I had this one gentleman who was a contractor, and he was so PO'd because his wife went out and started to spend his money. And, oh, my God, he was coming through swearing like a truck driver.
He still thought it was his money?
Yeah, and he was all PO'd that the wife was dating, and I'm like, you better get yourself back in the reality that you're not in the body anymore and you don't have any control over this.
East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast, it's your turn. Hi there.
Good morning, George, Jeffrey.
Hi.
Absolutely engrossing program tonight. Earlier on, Jeffrey, you mentioned that you did some counseling to clients who had teenage suicides in their experience. My wife and I experienced the same thing about a year ago with our kid.
I'm so sorry.
It was devastating. And tell me, what do you counsel people? I really like to...
Well, I tell people, let me explain to you. I work with a woman who is a psychologist, and she deals with kids, families of kids that have killed themselves. And
that's right.
Basically, you got to go through the counseling process. And I mean, if you go through the counseling process, the support systems, you know, there's all kinds of groups, Forever Family. And, you know, you get involved with, a local group, and that will help you in the healing process. And then what I do is, after a person has gone through the healing process, I'm able to bring, you know, your son through and help you, you know, have that closure. But you got to go through the healing process first. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, most people after 3 weeks want to be like, you know, I want to know why Tommy did it. And, you know, why did Tommy do it the way he did it? And, you know, that whole process.
Yeah.
And that is very heavy duty because, you know, you being a parent, of course, you're blaming yourself.
Of course.
You're not looking at the fact that, you know, your son was a troubled soul here. Yeah. And that some things went bad and it brought him to another place.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And okay. I'm so sorry that you had to go through this because that is the most painful thing to go through for any soul.
Ever have a priest come to you for help and advice?
Yes. I'll give you a little story.
Okay.
In my local parish here, there was a young man that hung himself, and he videotaped it. So the family comes to me through the, you know, the therapist that I work with, and I run into the priest, who is the head of the pastor, and he said to me, he goes, I heard about your good work. He goes, I can't officially endorse what you do. He goes, but I have to tell you the way you handled it. It was very beautiful. You really brought peace to these people, and I thank you, and God thanks you. And I said, well, at least I know the big guy up there likes me.
So. You're in.
Yeah, but it was
at the right time.
He said he couldn't come out. And it's funny because, you know, I went to St. John's, and it was a Catholic university. And when I was really getting into this, I went and met with one of the old priests, and he said to me, you know, he gave me the official talk was, unofficially, I can't endorse what you do, but I know you help people. And I know what you're doing, you know, you have a very special gift, and I really believe it is from the higher power. And just remember to use it always in that way.
With the gift you have, any hang-ups about dying?
No, not at all. The only hang-up I would have would be leaving my kids, but
right.
In essence, I know that I wouldn't be leaving my kids. My wife gets mad at me because I always tell my wife that I'm not
going to
be here.
Of course, we don't want to go, but at least you feel comfortable where you're going.
Oh, I'm not afraid. I know that, you know, I'm not going below, I'm going up.
Is there a below, Jeffrey?
I think that the below is here from the standpoint that in my experiences with the soul, you get souls that are earthbound, and that's the hell.
I'm beginning to feel that, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say to you that there isn't dark elements. You know, with, you know, Malachi Martin, that there is, you know, elements of demons, and there are elements that are negative. But, I mean, we have good and bad in the world. You have people that kill people. I mean, come on.
I contemplated for weeks doing an interview with a guy who claims that he channels the devil. I decided not to do it. We are allowing him to do a statement, and that's it. But
well,
I'm not going to be around him.
I wouldn't want to be around him either.
No, too much energy, negative energy.
Too much dark energy, that's the whole thing.
Is dark energy powerful?
I think it can be because it corrupts people and it puts people into a light where they're not doing good things. And, you know, unfortunately, we as human beings abuse power, and power is dark sometimes.
Well, that happens all the time, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
The name of the book is called The Psychic in You. We'll be back with Jeffrey in just a moment. We'll wrap up with your final phone calls. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, jot this down. Just remember that this will be the last week I will be telling you about the Predictions television show. If you want to order it, you can order it right online at www.predictions.tv. If you like DVDs instead and you just want to order that and keep it and watch it whenever you want to, you can do that too. All of it at predictions.tv. Then a couple days to go, those of you in Canada, you can still watch it off of your cable network or your satellite network. But if you are so inclined as well, it's just predictions.tv. I like the fact that in some of these dreams you have various symbols which represent things, and that's pretty good to have that. You know, for example, wine means prosperity. I never knew that.
Well, I tried to make it simple. I mean, I tell people, too, if you ever have a dream about being in a blizzard, make sure you go out and buy a lotto ticket.
With the right numbers.
Absolutely.
Let's go back to the phones. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Liz from Phoenix.
Hi, Liz. Go ahead.
A great show. I wanted to ask, what does a person that's been suicidally depressed on and off for about 30 years do to try to straighten that out? I mean, it's been very difficult.
30 years?
Yeah. On and off.
You?
Yeah.
What do we do here, Jeffrey?
Well, I mean, you know, you're talking about environment with you, and it's like what happens is that I find it to be the people that are very depressed and very sensitive, that it's the sensitivity, and you're picking up, you know, the what we call the psychic vampires and, you know, the people that are around you. So you've got to start being more and more conscious of your environment. I mean, you're lucky because at least where you are, there's a lot of sunshine, so that part of it is good. Mm. But it's really like trying to change the energy flow. With you, it's very chemical, so that's what you got to be very careful with.
Chemical as in toxins?
No, I think it has to do with your body chemistry, and they're showing it to me in a way where it would deal with, like, a chemical imbalance, and I think that's what creates it.
Okay.
So maybe you can, you know, adjust the diet and do some things in that area that might help it so that you're not zapped with these little, you know, periods where you have no energy.
Well, what I'm finding out is the antidepressants that I go on make me loopy as hell. And it's like, you know, I'm not alert during the day. I have problems sleeping, and it's difficult to function.
Well, as I said, try to do some other things. There are some natural approaches to it.
Okay.
But you do have a tendency to be really hard on yourself, and I don't think that helps stuff either.
Yeah.
Do events in your life cause you to feel this way, Liz?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, lots of them are situational depressions. I mean, it'll start out that way, and then it'll kind of...
He's there?
Yes.
I know you're there, but
I'm here.
Where is she?
I don't know. We lost her.
Liz, are you gone? Clicked. Now, that's just what she needs, right?
Exactly.
Okay, let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning, George.
Morning to you, sir.
It's Frank. I did your Porky Pig a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. You did on my goodbye.
Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to be your last caller. What do I do? What do I do?
That was great, by the way. You did a good job for us.
You're welcome. Hey, I don't want to get personal with it, but I just want to let you know that I am an experiencer of a full-fledged intervention. I told George about this. I had an actual sitting on my bed and an arm and a hug. I was in a very depressed mood. It turned me around 180 degrees.
Well, who do you think it was?
I believe it was my grandmother.
Well, that's what I was going to say because it's your mom's mom.
My mom's mom. So
yes, she never gets any credit, she says.
Oh, my God. Oh, Nana. All right. I think about her all the time. My main question was, I have a friend who thinks he was a suicide in Vietnam. It was a no capture clause, last option out suicide, and they were in that deep, and that he got thrown back into this life, and he feels like he's really, really, really out of place. Should this be pursued through hypnosis, or just leave it alone?
I would say to you, probably for him, it's a tormentive thing, and I would probably try to find somebody that is really good with hypnosis.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, what you could do is probably, I would consider probably a person who's really good with regressions is Dr. Brian Weiss, so you could probably call his office and get a recommendation of somebody out in your area.
You can get him off our website. He's one of the best.
He is.
I've heard him on the show before. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks. Appreciate you being on the program. He is good, and he does a lot of past life regression, too.
Well, I love the fact that we are dealing with somebody who's a doctor and who's an intellectual who also gets it.
Well, you know who also gets it, and you know him, Gary Schwartz.
Yeah, very much so. He was actually on the special with me, so.
He is very good. Next up, Wild Card Line, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hi, Jeffrey. How are you all doing this morning?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, I just had just a quick question. I have a reason for the question. Jeffrey, have you ever run across anyone who can project a false aura?
Yeah, I mean like a false energy. Absolutely.
And use it. And the reason I ask you is because I've found that I can do this and use it to my advantage when dealing with people.
You mean like a trickster?
Well, not really. Maybe not really a trickster, but, you know, you can...
You can present a certain air and be something that you're not.
Yeah, you can. You can present a certain air, sort of helps you relate to people better.
Agreed, because it brings you to a level where you're able to relate to all.
Well, how could you be something that you're not, though, Jeffrey? Maybe he.
No, it's a projection. You know what it would be like if you project an image, and we were looking at the image on the wall, the image of the wool is going to be somewhat distorted, so it's not the actual image of the object that you're looking at.
But you can, I guess, what our caller is saying is you can't step up to the plate once in a while.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Like I say, I don't use it for negative, for anything negative.
No, as long as you're not using it in a negative way, I wouldn't say it's bad. It wouldn't be something I would be doing all the time. But, you know, I think sometimes if it helps you get more comfortable in a situation.
But deep down inside, I bet it's really you. Okay, thanks. We're losing a couple people right at the end there. Negative thoughts, though, come back. It's like a boomerang, isn't it?
Oh, it's karma. What goes around comes around. You better believe it.
Maybe even worse.
Oh, I think so.
First time caller line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Harley from Red Oak, Texas.
Hey, Harley, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. My son passed 10 years ago, and I'd just like to know if he can tell me anything about him or how he's doing. Or
now, your dad has also passed?
My son.
No, but there's a father figure that's with him.
Yes, he passed 4 years ago.
Okay, because that's who's standing with him. So when you said that, I had the impression of your dad first, but they're together.
Oh, wow.
They're absolutely together. And your dad is reminding you very much so the importance of the fact that this was something that you couldn't have prevented.
Oh, wow. That's cool. One more question, if I may.
And I even have a dog there, too, by the way.
Oh, I do. You're right.
I know. The dog's standing with your dad. So.
Oh, wow. One more question, if I may, quickly. I know you don't do medicals, but I've been having death premonitions myself. You don't see me passing in the next year or two quickly, do you?
God forbid. You got still work to do, and your son wants you to do some things yet.
I know.
According to them, you got some work to do in the house, so you better hurry up.
Wow, you're cool.
Okay, thanks, pal. Appreciate it. What do you think of tarot cards?
It's a vehicle. Like what I said to you before, you know, some people need it. I started out that way because I was afraid of, like, oh, my God, they're going to think I'm a freak. When I was in college, it was a great way to meet girls. I will tell you that. I sit at the sorority tables. They all loved me. Oh, Jeffrey has the answers. And, you know, it was real great because I went home by myself and my friends got the girls. So.
Yeah, but they were your cards.
They were my cards, yeah.
West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast on the Air. Hi.
Hi there, George. Thank you very much. And hi there, Jeffrey. And I know that this was meant by God because I've tried to get through to you guys for hours. So my question to you is this. If someone has an illness and has been given the prognosis, how would a person handle that?
What kind of prognosis? Like a very fatal prognosis?
Yes.
Okay.
So. All right. Well, you know, especially in a situation I've had clients that have been told they had cancer and they end up beating it. And I really believe that the power of the soul is very, very strong. And it's like you said something very magical. You said that you believed it was God's way of making sure you got through. Well, you have to turn to that higher power.
I do, Jeffrey, but do you see any time?
I think you have longer than you think, believe me. I don't think you're going anytime soon.
Okay, I'm not speaking of myself.
I know you're not. But what's around you, I didn't get the feeling that he was going anywhere yet.
Okay, and I have one more quick thing. If someone was in an accident that I know, could you tell me if that was a deliberate accident or was it an accident? This happened in June last year.
I hear accident when you say that.
Accident.
They were depressed, but it was an accident.
Does he come around me very often?
He's around you a lot. He just really was in a lot of pain when he was here, honey.
Yes, I really... Oh, God bless you. Thank you, George. Thank you, Jeffrey. And I'm going to get your book.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
How long does it take us to learn the techniques we're supposed to have from the get-go anyway?
I think it's a part of all of us. And I think, like, people say to me, I've become spiritual. Well, we're not just become spiritual. We're born spiritual. And I think it's part of the soul, and I think it's something that just triggers.
I am a very staunch believer in this. I do believe all of us should be able to do this.
And why not? I think it's, you know, I tell people, I didn't corner the market in it. I mean, I may be a little more perceptive than the average person, but we all have that ability.
Sure thing. Wild card line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hi, this is Chuck at Peoria.
Hey, Chuck, go ahead.
Great. Just wanted to compliment your guest on the way he's carried himself this evening. And gosh, you know, I've listened to Art since the 14-4 modem days, and I'm a little shaky about calling you, but But just as some, with a little fun and a little bit of a test, I guess, your guest, just wanted to ask him briefly.
You sound like there are ghosts in your room.
Don't say that, my friend.
I hear voices back there.
Well, hopefully it's not my radio. I'm trying to keep away from it. Wanted to ask your guest briefly, and yes, that's another topic. God bless you. In the beginning, the initial people, would you or could you name them?
What do you mean by the initial people?
In Genesis or in what you perceive to be the beginning.
What, mean like the fallen angels or whatever?
No, on Earth.
Name them?
Typically, most people would respond to Adam and Eve.
True. Okay. I didn't hear him say anything.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that.
No, I understand that. That's what makes it fun.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be your response as well?
You know what? I take religion very personal, okay? And I would say with something like that, I wouldn't use that necessarily where I would say Adam and Eve would be my choice.
And I would have named unnamed extraterrestrials.
Okay. May I interject something?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the common response. Not what you guys said, but you know what I suggested.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I kind of played with you about it is because that's never written or discussed anyway.
Your phone has gone on us. Phones.
It happens a lot with me.
Is it you?
It might be. I don't know. I'll tell you a real funny sidebar. We were taping a Maury show, and, you know, they sent me out in the field. And I said to the cameraman when we were going out, I said, bring extra batteries. And sure enough, we had to send somebody back to the studio for extra batteries. And I just think it's the energy of the people, you know, the psychic energy and also the dead people.
Do you start watches like Uri Geller?
No, I'm not into that.
All right, next up, Wild Card Line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yep, sure can.
Okay, good evening. Thanks for having such an interesting show.
You're welcome.
My question is regarding channeling. What is it that you're supposed to do when you're channeling music? What is the best way to apply what you're channeling? And why do you channel music if you're not a singer or a musician?
Well, if you're channeling music in your particular case, there are people that get situations where it will be a past life energy, and you may have picked up like an energy of somebody that's around you. And I tell people, like, we have spirit guides, and you may actually have a spirit guide who's allowing you and having you have that opportunity to channel that energy. And that's where it's coming from. I find it to be, when I did some of the writing in the book with my writer, I was channeling, and I was just bringing it through like it was, you know, so natural.
But it's the almost a form of persecution, because the song will not go away.
Well, then you have to ask them to take it away. Remember, you have control. You have control over that.
I do.
Yes.
What, you know what I did with it? I went and recorded it. I do have a voice, but I have no desire to be on stage or sing or whatever.
Well, you don't have to be on stage with it. It's something that you have a very fine gift with music, and it's like when you were talking, they were showing me the fingers moving, which means that you were supposed to play the piano.
Oh, dear. Well, what I did with the recordings, I've never had them published, but I do give them because some of them are spiritual in a sense. They're very uplifting. I do send them to people that are in trouble.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's healing people.
Yes. And so I was wondering if that's all I was supposed to do with it.
That's part of it. I think also the fact is you shouldn't be afraid of putting yourself out in the public.
Great. Thanks for that. Time for a couple more calls. That'll be it. First-time caller line. You're up with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Sherry in Houston.
Hi, Sherry.
I was calling to ask about when unusual animals show up after someone passes away.
Oh, good question. I like that question. You know, there used to be elements where people would say if you saw a bird or like a blackbird that would come to the house ahead of time.
Tapping on the window.
Yeah, that would represent the fact that there's going to be a soul leaving. Mm-hmm. Okay, when you're talking about unusual animals, are you talking about like raccoons? Are you talking about
like a black panther or a great blue heron?
Well, I think probably in that aspect it would be more of the Indians believed and, you know, different cultures believed that the sparrow was the messenger of the soul. Mm-hmm. And in that particular case, when you're dealing with something that's a black panther, it probably represents more that you have somebody that's a spirit guide that is connected to that, who's trying to bring you a message.
Huh.
So I wouldn't necessarily go outside and meet the panther. I don't think that would be a good idea. But
yeah, it was making noise. It was.
Well, he's probably making a connection to you. That's the whole thing. I probably would investigate where you're living and see if there's any kind of history and where the house is.
Mm-hmm.
And that also may tie into that.
Okay, great.
My mother used to have a superstition, Jeffrey, that if a bird was in the house, that meant someone was going to die.
Well, that's...
I don't know why.
Well, because they believed that if the bird was trying to get in, it means that the bird was going to take the soul and be the messenger to carry the soul.
Last caller, east of the Rockies. Go ahead real quickly. Hi there.
Hi, this is James.
Hi, James.
I was wondering what psychics are real and which ones are not, because I'm trying to find out some from my future, you know,
mm-hmm.
and see how, like, my, you know, how I'm going in life.
That's the $64,000 question.
You know, I tell people, James, it's a personal experience. You got to find, there are plenty of people probably that are in your area. I mean, some of the high-profile ones are good, you know, the John Edward. There's plenty of, you know, people that I would say to you that are on a level in that. But it's a personal experience, and I think if you would learn to tap into yourself, then you wouldn't have to worry about that.
What do you think about these drive-by places that have...
Oh, stay away from the gypsies.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Okay.
And then you get into, oh...
But those signs look so inviting, Jeffrey.
I know, I have one of them. I like the neon sign. I won't say to you that I don't, but I wouldn't necessarily...
Psychic,
you know.
Enter,
exactly.
Open. I love it. And it's always in a house with all kinds of strange knickknacks. Not that I've ever been in those places. Hey, Jeffrey, thanks. Good luck with this book. And do be in touch with us when the next one is ready to come out again.
Oh, thank
okay?
you so much, George.
All right, my friend. You take care of yourself.
You too. Bye-bye.
Stay in the light. Simply stay in the light. Don't forget our program tomorrow. We'll be with Joshua Warren on ghosts. And then we've got a 9/11 discussion on Thursday. And then back to open lines again on Friday for Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudisori, and Punnett and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.